Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Tech Days Online, DDD flavor. We are streaming live to the millions and millions of people out on Facebook from Developer, which is a community conference organized by, run by volunteers. And it's currently at TVP at Microsoft Reading, which is why we've taken advantage of our streaming technology as well. My name is Rick Hepworth. I'm an Azure MVP. With me, hot off the speaker line, we literally grabbed him by his collar as soon as he finished, is Dave Battier. Thanks very much for taking the time to do the recording, Dave.
No worries.
And I know your session was all about the cool and fun things you can do with the Twitter API. So do you want to start by just telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do, and then show us some cool demos?
All right, cool. So, Rick, and everybody, I am Dave Battier. I'm a developer. I work for an Edinburgh-based company called Quorum Network Resources. And today, I basically demoed using Twitter as a sort of data feed and as an analogy to try and get tweets into SQL Server quickly and to see how it could be done. And it's basically born out of a project about 5 years ago where we had to get a lot of data into SQL Server over a weekend. And we did get it done in about 30 hours, but I kind of wondered, I thought, like, what would be the next architectural step? So Twitter's a great source of absolute rubbish data. It's really, really terrible.
It's at high volume and high speed.
High volume, total rubbish data. So, this is a slide of what we're doing, the next architectural step for this. So I thought what I'd do is I'll just show you a couple of demos, and then let's see how quickly we can get stuff going into SQL Server.
Okay, so the challenge here is, since you've hooked into Gary Short's Twitter feed, can he tweet fast enough to swap your system?
Right, let's see if we can actually get something working. So what I did was I basically took somebody else's bit of code, actually. So I'll just give a shout out to him in case he's watching, because he's a UK guy. Adam James Bull. So I took his code and basically simplified it and to try and get the most simplest way to get data out of Twitter to look at a streaming API. So we're going to look at Scotland first, and let's see if it works. So this is live, okay? So please don't judge me on the quality of these tweets coming out. So here we go. This is Scotland, and it looks like it's football, and it's probably about politics as well. So that was a live demo of tweets coming in of the Twitter streaming API.
Okay.
This is a really simple application. Basically a console application, and this is pretty much it. There's a bit of boilerplate code, but there's basically one line of writing out to the console the actual tweet that's coming in. So the game here is, so we can get tweets, and the game here is to get it into SQL Server in a meaningful manner.
Right.
So let's try and do that. So I've got this awesomely named method called do something. So what we first do is we deserialize it using JSON.NET.
Right.
And Twitter's got a bit of a funny date standard, but that's fine. JSON.NET handles it. If we go back, basically we then write it to SQL Server using Dapper. So straight up SQL, nothing fancy at all here, and that's that. So let's actually do it. I'll just run it again, and let's have a look in SQL Server, and we should see basically the tweets and the users going up. Let's actually connect to SQL Server, shall we? That's probably a good thing.
Connecting to SQL Server first for your demos is massively out of as far as I'm concerned. If everything goes right, we're doing something wrong.
There we go. We're getting tweets going in, and it's in real time, and this can handle up to 50 tweets a second. That's as much as Twitter will give us.
Okay.
So, now, because this is kind of an analogy, we want to basically see how much data we can get into SQL Server really quickly, but well. So let's imagine we've got 6 gigabytes worth of tweets.
Right.
How quickly can we get them into SQL Server?
Okay.
Let's find out.
Go on then.
All right. Let's go into here. This is pretty much one I made earlier. All right. So there's some demos here. Right. I think this should work.
So just to be clear, you've got 6 gigabytes worth of tweets. You need to get out more. And I assume there's a local store in your machine. You're just trying to splurge those straight through that.
This is really complex. They're just stored and dumped to disk.
Right.
That's it. They're just essentially log files. So I've now got three threads running, or three processes. So you can see here, my machine's going flat out.
Okay.
And what it's actually doing is it's processing really hard. It's using Redis as a cache. It's using RabbitMQ to split up the tasks. So we're splitting by file name, and then we're BCPing into SQL Server. Using the great library by Mark Gravel that maps things really well. That really helps in BCPing. Right. And what we'll see, right? Because this is all great. This would take a little bit of time on this machine to finish. So here's one I prepared earlier in classic Blue Peter fashion. I'm just going to flick through the talk, but sorry, as an aside, have you ever seen this map of Australia?
No, but actually now I've seen it, I probably can't unsee it.
You can never unsee this. So on the right is a cat, and it's got cat food at the bottom, and on the left is a dog.
There we go. See, it's a presentation about data ingesting. We get a topical and cultural interlude. Fantastic. More importantly, you just flick through your slides, so all I have to do now is frame by frame, and I've got the whole thing.
There you go. You can do that. Right, so this is, I went through RabbitMQ, blah, 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 Redis, right. But let's look at performance.
Okay.
All right, let's see how it actually did. This is me querying Redis. So you can see here I'm getting about 20,000 hits a second on Redis.
Wow, right.
This is just a single machine.
That's just running on your machine, yeah?
Yep, just running on my machine. And then finally, we went from, it was about 50 tweets a second in what we saw, and now we're hitting about 25,000 tweets a second going into SQL Server.
Wow.
Yeah. So using 7 parallel cores, we can go really fast. So 2 million tweets, about a minute 20 to get into SQL Server.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously you work as a consultant. Have you got companies for whom this kind of approach is A, important, and B, is working for them?
Basically, this performance drives me nuts when it's really, really bad.
Right.
So this is a research project into like what you can do. And actually, that's a great segue into my next slide.
Okay.
Because what I actually said was, sometimes slower is faster. So even though I can get 25,000 tweets a second going into the system, I actually recommend don't do it.
Okay, and why is that? Is it that you've effectively moved the bottleneck so SQL can't write them out as quick maybe, or what did you find when you tested this?
It's more about complexity of the code.
Okay.
To make this work, it was tricky, and there's lots of manipulation and lists you have to take care of and dictionaries and stuff inside. And debugging is difficult, so when I say sometimes slower is faster, in the long run, it's probably going to, in my applications, I think it's better to have simpler code running a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. That's easier to debug. You can push things really, really hard, but sometimes you've got to ask, is SQL Server the right endpoint for this data? Maybe not. But in an organization, so I work in the enterprise, mm-hmm. It usually is SQL Server I have to end up in. So you can make it go really, really fast, but is it wise?
So you've obviously, you've done this as a research project. You've built that, I was about to say complex, but it's not a horrifically complex architecture. You've got a number of different moving parts in there. But, you know, when we sort of squint and look at enterprise apps, you know, you've got some cache, you've got RabbitMQ effectively as a sort of service messaging bus, and you've got a database.
Yeah.
Are there any sort of tips and tricks that you'd want to pass on, things you learned through the way that you find work? Because you said it was quite complicated to build and develop. Are there any things that maybe branches you fell out of that you said, well, you know, if you don't put your hand there, then that won't hurt and you'll have a better time than me, having obviously done it successfully?
Any tips and tricks? Things like using RabbitMQ. So, in fact, let's bring up, this is a diagram. Using things like RabbitMQ, Everybody seems to make the same mistakes. Tips and tricks would be, do things slowly, so learn things slowly.
Okay.
I once tried to put 100,000 raw tweets onto RabbitMQ. Strange, it just locked up and was unresponsive for 30 seconds. It's not designed for that. So these types of things, you can get great performance, but it takes time and energy. So top tips are take your time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you being driven towards putting it in SQL, or do you think actually there's merit in maybe looking at different kinds of back ends? My obvious thought, given that we're now all open cloud and full of OSS goodness, is have you done similar tests with Postgres or MySQL, see whether they behave any differently?
It's a good question. No, not yet.
Tune in next year for the SQL to your talk.
So I did talk about putting it in the Elk stack, so Elasticsearch, okay. Logstash, Kibana.
Right.
And that's good. That's another way of doing it. But actually, I quite like relational databases. I can write SQL. And this slide is quite good because it shows, and this is a little bit topical about politics as well, so this will offend everybody probably. But over the general election a couple of nights ago, I looked at all the hashtags that were used.
Okay.
And I saw that Vote Labour was, massively, it's like hugely high, and Vote Conservative was much, much lower. In fact, it was just above dogs at polling stations. So it really showed that Labour had was really, really onto the whole the social media thing.
See, I'm more interested in the correlation between Vote Conservative and dogs at polling stations. There might be something in there. You hear it here first. I had a question in there, and it's gone. Oh, look at that. This is what happens. You see, you blindside me with pictures of cats.
There's a picture of a cat.
And the perfectly serious question that was emerging to the top of my mind has gone.
Well, we talked about, so there was RabbitMQ, Redis, SQL bulk copy.
That was it. So I think it's a very interesting topic of conversation that as technologists, as developers, and myself as an IT pro, I'm not a dev, I'm not going to sit over there, we do tend to gravitate, don't we, to, ooh, that's new, that's cool, yep. I want to use that in my next project.
Yep.
And I think it's very interesting that actually what you were saying is that sometimes the older things that you know better might be a better choice. Is that something you sort of, again, is there a bitter experience in there trying to get out? I mean, did you try something new and cool, if you like, before you came back to SQL? Did you think, well, hey, I could do this, I don't know, DocumentDB or Cosmo as it is now. Or
yeah.
Did you kick the tires on that and then come back to SQL and think, actually it was easier?
It's almost like you're asking me if I'm a bit bitter and jaded that.
No.
And yeah, sometimes I think that's one of the reasons it's good to play with technology. I used Redis really, really hard, and then I thought, man, this is great, but for this scenario and this complexity, no, it's probably not the right fit.
Right.
But yeah, to answer your question, I think it's good to come back to, say, tools that like raw SQL is blindingly good if you know it. It's phenomenal. And just doing simple stuff like indexing and learning how to do that is, you don't need to go to a flashy new database.
No, okay. Again, I think there's a moral there, isn't it? That if you learn more about the technology rather than switching to a newer one, you can probably achieve the same amount of performance upgrade or the same level of quality in your solution. Okay. But it's not as cool as using all of the toys. So you wrote all that in .NET, I take it?
Yep, just straight up .NET, console applications, nothing clever at all. And actually, that's a really good question. So I didn't use things like Task Parallel Library and things like that because I wanted it to be fully distributed. So I wanted it to be easily across multiple machines and,
okay.
Redis is somewhere else and SQL Server is somewhere else. So I did chuck it up in the cloud and had a whole bunch of VMs running and doing stuff. But it would be very easy to port this to .NET Core and sort of do it all on Linux.
Don't worry. For those of you watching at home, every now and again the lights go out because nobody is moving in the bit of the office that's nowhere near us where the sensors are.
So someone's got to go and run in there.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
As a slight tangent, since we're chatting, I used to work in an office with somebody, and she was far enough from the sensor that it didn't matter if she stood and waved her arms desperately, the lights would go out and she'd be plunged into pitch darkness. And she actually had to get up and walk around the office.
Yeah.
And we said, well, this is great. You know, think of the step count that you're going for, you know. So the guy who's doing the sound here every now and again literally just ups and sprints around the building. And he's been doing it all day. And I think it's doing him the world of good, you know.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I'm getting told off. I'm hearing in my ear that actually it was the UK MVP Lee Clare Smith who did the last one. Right, let's play our get out of tangent free card. So that was really interesting. So let's change topic. One of the things that I've been talking to people about who've been gracious enough to be yanked up here by Claire is this whole DDD community conference thing and sort of what's in it for you, if you like. And I've been asking the same two questions to people. One, why do you think people should attend the conference?
Yep.
I know there's an obvious answer of well, to come hear me speak, but you know, let's put that one aside for a second. But you know, what can people, if you could say to somebody, attend DDD because, what would your answer to that one be? What do you think people can get out of it?
I can only answer it for myself. So I attend events like this because it inspires me. I get to chat to people who are fabulous at what they do, and hopefully some of it rubs off on me. And I get to hear about new technology. I get to hear about war stories, about people's failures and great stuff like that. It's great to try and go out to dinner and to, you know, go out basically with people. And
so did you do the so normally with the things like DDD, we there's a speaker dinner, I think it was last night. I don't know whether they're doing geek beers, but sometimes there's that as well.
And everything like that is great to do.
So that the sort of social mix, the community, they're talking to other grizzled veterans. Okay, so what about from the other side? So you're speaking
Can we just go back to the grizzled veterans bit?
Well, I'm grizzled and you're a veteran, so that works, doesn't it? What about as a speaker?
Yeah.
What do you get out of it as a speaker? Why should people considering throwing their hat into the ring and putting a session in for say, DDD North that's in October?
Sure. One of the best things I find about doing a session is it really focuses you on finishing something. You know, everybody loves to play. I love to play. I'm always got loads of side projects on and stuff like that. But when you've got the prospect of standing in front of bright lights with, you know, 20, 30, 100 developers, like, looking at you, It's a massive carrot to get something done and to get something working.
Okay,
so
that's cool. And have you enjoyed yourself today? Did you get a good crowd? Did they ask lots of questions?
Yeah, fabulous crowd. I think it's really good if you can get some chat going basically and hear what other people have got to say. You know, other people have some really good stories about using Rabbit and Redis, and somebody said the question, well, why are you doing this in code? Why don't you let SQL Server do everything? What's the point? You know, get SQL Server doing what SQL Server is good at, which is data processing, which is a great question. And my answer to that was, I don't have super powerful SQL Servers. So to get this kind of performance in the enterprise, I have to go outside and use an app server to do a lot of the heavy lifting.
Right.
Yeah, so I can't do it all installed procs and SQL. So yeah, it's great to get good questions and try to sort of engage the audience.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's been fun and engaging talking to you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Dave Mateer, who was talking about cool things you can do with SQL Server if you get enough processing power at it with the Twitter API.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for watching. Please don't go away. We're hoping to stream another session here with another MVP in a few moments. And all of these recordings will be on Channel 9 just as soon as we can get our internet monkeys to upload them.